Mr. Davidson, Real 2. We're talking about Goodwood and the times after. You don't remember them particularly,
no,
you know. What do you remember of the fighting? I mean, there was some more fighting after that day. Are there any incidents you remember that happened to you? That, you know, it doesn't matter what day or what place, just things that happened to you.
We're going to be in a big house, okay? No. The first tank I lost was at Amiens.
At where?
Amiens.
And what happened there? Can you tell us exactly what happened?
Well, I don't know. That's the night we did the all-night drive to Amiens. There's a generalist coming by here, you know. They were after. We didn't get him. It's another region going. And I lost my tank there.
How?
Well, we got up, so I suppose it must have been hit.
What happened?
We all got in it, but anyway.
What happened? Can you remember what happened when you brewed up?
No, I don't. I didn't feel that the shudder or anything, but I did brew up.
By brewed up, you mean it caught fire?
We all, pardon?
It caught fire.
Yeah, I think it was Sergeant Swan I was driving then. He shouted bailout, you know, all over the thing we did, you know, so we got out.
Which way would you get out? Through
the hatch.
Immediate. Yeah. Was it open anyway?
No. Well, longest we're more or less an action sort of business. And then we finished up in the back of a lorry, the other crew, going along. And we were sitting in the back of this lorry, and some Germans came along with motorbikes and sidecars. And that's officers and that amongst them, you see. And they're looking at us and smiling, so you know, I thought, they must think we are prisoners. And they carried on, and all of a sudden, there's one chap in the back of the lorry where I was in. He got up to the anti-aircraft gun, and he's popping the rifle and running down the fields. I seen one of the Germans jump about a half mile up in the air when you hit him in the back. So that was that.
What's that? Would you just get a new tank?
You didn't get a new tank, you get another one, you know, when the action's over, and you start it again, you get another tank, maybe another crew. You know. What you call your LB, left of the bar line, when you haven't got a tank.
What's the next thing you remember?
Going to Antwerp. We took Antwerp. Well, we stopped outside Antwerp. That was it. And then we were in Holland. And,
did you lose any other tanks?
Well, yeah, it was three tanks total.
So what happened to the second and third times? When were they?
The second one was up in the Ardennes, you know, the part of the bulge.
What do you remember of that?
And as the young one, in Bradley Bodge, because in the winter time, Christmas time, 1944, it was cold and snow and miserable it was. And we was going to put in this attack this morning. But actually, the night before, we were sitting in this empty house, on our way back from where we're going to go. And we were all very quiet, my crew was, you were in the same room, you know. And I had a lot of fags sent over from my granny for Christmas, June 3 fags, see? And we used to leave them back in our kit somewhere. But we used to have them in their little tents with the compo tea, you know, where we used to have dried milk tea, leaves in it. And maybe it was empty, so I filled up my fags. Somebody told me, you know, something like that, so I filled it up. That was that. The next morning we moved off to the top of this hill to go down to. There's a village who's down in the valley. The airborne is supposed to come down one side, and we're going down this side. And Lieutenant Gale then, from his father had a garage near Reading. And we just got down the bottom of the hill, and tap in front of us a stop that had been hit. I was watching through the periscope, the crew jumped out to see they were all going to see. And Jeff Gale, well, Lieutenant Gale, he said, "All right, Doug, drive on." And I put my foot down in the pedal. Lying up, looked around at the dials, no needles flipping. All of a sudden, bail out, we'd been hit, see? That one grew up. Anyway, we all got out and went back.
So you all got out again?
Yeah, we all got
but
out.
But didn't you feel it when the tank was hit?
Never felt it. It went through the engine door to the back, apparently. What had happened was there's some trees up on the top of the hill. There'd been a German speed tank gone over. It was stationed there, see?
Self-propelled gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what they told me, anyway. And that is the part, you know, shut us through the engine door and that's the time. Yeah.
So you got out without casualties?
Yes, without casualties. All that was two tanks. You know, only casualty was I think it was a while or so from the tank in front of us, he hurt his ankle as he jumped down off the tank. That's just snow, you see the soft jump. The bike was cold there. When you're driving with your lids open, the engine pulls air through cone air through your holes, you know. And up that Saturday, my eyelashes were looking freezing up. Was it cold, you know? Yeah.
What would you wear in a tank?
Well, at that time we had zoot suits.
What were they?
We never had them at the start. We've got zoot suits, asbestos suits, fireproof suits. Yeah.
Would they keep you warm as well?
Yes, they did. Yes. I'll tell you what, the motorcyclists used to make them, you know.
And what did you wear when you first went in? When you went in?
Just your uniform. Your uniform. Well, I used to wear a big German overcoat. It's a piece of a warm out. Long and down to my feet. I don't know what the Germans would say to come and catch him.
And what about the third time you brewed up?
That was our new tanks. We were the first division. The British brought out the Comet tank, cruiser tank, the lovely tanks.
What was good about them?
Hydraulic steering, and fast, and a bigger gun.
So they were better than the Sherman?
The best, the quicker and faster as well, easier to drive. The British brought them out at the end of 44. And at that time we were back in Holland, we were just more or less patrolling the banks there, not very much going on, you know. And they brought this tank out, they took them over to Ypres in Belgium, and we came back and dumped our Sherman tanks in Brussels. We went to Ypres to train on these Comets, right? Now, while we were here, the Germans broke through at the Ardennes, you know, the Battle of the Bulge. And I think it was only for a few weeks at Ypres. We had to go and go to Brussels, paint our tanks white, and go up to Ardennes. That was that. That's when we lost it. That was funny. When we went to Ypres first, our crew was putting his bunch of dollars. You know, he's a businessman in the town, and he spoke good English. When he came home at night, he had us all down in the hallway, covered in the lounge, and talking to us. You know. He asked us all from the day where we came from, you see. And he said to me, he said, "What do you do?" I said, I'm the driver. He says, "You're a Scotsman." I said, "That's right." He says, "You look more like an Italian or a Spanish man." He said, "Because he's a Scotsman, all tall, red hair, or blonde hair." And Ronnie McLeod was our weather shop, and he used to play the bagpipes. He started playing the bagpipes shop in the bedroom. So he had to stop that one, didn't he? Poor old Ronnie. He didn't get back from the Ardennes.
So this third tank that was lost, that was a Comet.
A Comet. I was rattling across the Rhine.
So the second tank, which you'd painted white, you'd re-picked it up when you went back in, yeah.
I haven't finished Ardennes yet, sorry.
Yeah.
It was up the Ardennes, right? Now, when the Germans were more or less beat, I suppose, they went back. Most of the tanks were sent back to Brussels. And on the way back, the Yanks came over machine gunning. And that's how Ronnie McLeod, he got it. He's in the turret, and he's here in the turret. And he got it with the machine gun, you know. That's how another boat got it from the Yanks. However, I was putting another tank in after losing that one, you know, there. There are several others left to fight what they call the rear guard action in case the Germans come again. So I was left there for a few days after that. When we did take it away, we drove back to Brussels and turned out a petrol just as we went into Brussels near a cafe. So we did the cafe and had a wash up and a paper photographer was there and all that crack. So then after that, we went back to Ypres to carry on the training of it.
With the Comet.
Now, other gunners used to be taken from there up to Dunkirk to the Rangers. Okay? Or somewhere near Dunkirk, anyway. But the rumour had it that the instructors came over from this country to teach them on the, just for the guns over there. And the Germans broke through from Dunkirk and took them prisoner. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. So that was that.
So what's the next, after Ypres?
After Ypres, there's the crossing the Rhine.
What do you remember of that?
Well, not a lot, really.
How did you get across?
On the Bailey Bridge. A place called Breeze, I think it was.
What happened once you were over? Because you were brewed up again, weren't you?
No, I didn't brew up. I had the tag blown off my mind. And I couldn't control it. Archie nearly was sitting off with these two fingers trying to get out. It was, you know, the driver's seat was on the right on the corner. Right, and the track it was, and it was spun into the ditch, was that side in the ditch, and I pushed the side doors, you know, lifts, and I pushed it out to pull myself out. The blinking door come back and clapped my two fingers in. Had to get out. So I was left out of the battle for a few days after that.
What was it like when you went over a mine? I mean, how bad an explosion was it?
Quite big. Shook it back up. But of course, I had no control of the steering then, didn't I?
Was it a British mine or a German mine?
No idea. The German one, actually. I think it's the British one there then. We were the first one there.
Anything else about that fighting?
About the fighting? No. I don't think so. We didn't do an awful lot after that until we got to the River Rail, you know.
What did you think of your officers? Were they a good crowd? And the NCOs?
Well, at times you think they're bastards, you know.
When might you think that?
Well, when they're putting you right. No, but on the whole, they were only doing their jobs.
You know. Were they fair?
I think so, yeah.
Were they good as officers? I mean, were they good at the job?
Well, I thought they were, anyway. But when we were on our bench, I told you I was driving this Lieutenant Gale, we were all in the same tank, and he got the Lillibee Cross. But we were there as well with the...
Did you think that was fair?
No, I don't think they should have given us all something. I think, you know, we were all in the same tank. But they've got to give them to somebody, isn't it?
And anything else about generally about the fight, or any other stories you remember?
I don't think so.
What about the food you got when you were over there? What was that like?
It was all rations, you know, packs of rations.
What, compo?
Compo tea, Irish compo. And I used to, funny Irish stew and stuff like that.
Was it good, or...?
Well, I got used to it. Actually, the dog's biscuits, you know. And I didn't like bread after having so much of the dog biscuits. And I didn't like real tea after having the compo tea. Anyway, it's all good.
So what next then? You were moving into Germany up?
Right up the River Elbe.
Were you aware the war was coming to an end?
Yes, we were. Yes. Actually, I was home late when the war came to an end. No, I wasn't as... They drew a lot cheaper when you could go and leave, and I was nearly one of the last. And I was in a under canvas in a transit camp in Holland when the war finished.
How did you feel?
Great. Actually, they took us back by lorry, you know, from near the River Elbe back to Holland where we were. I can't remember the name. So. And the Germans were over machine gunning us on the way back in the lorries. So we nearly didn't make it, did we? Well, it was great when we had that over the wireless in the transit camp. It was nice. So I came home and leave, and that was it. Then went back again. Oh, you don't want to hear...
You went back to Germany?
Yeah, after leave, yes. And not long after that, the second fight before was broke up.
They'd been at Bredstedt for a while, though, weren't they? Weren't they at Bredstedt for a while?
Was that there? Yeah. Yeah, it could have been, yes. Went too far away from Munster.
And do you remember much about the time before you... Because you went to the first, didn't you, after a while?
I just left the second at Munster, that place you're on about, near Munster. That's the younger blocks for the older blocks. Changes over, you see, because the older blocks would begin to move. It's the second we're breaking up. And we went to join the first. You want to hear about the first? We joined the first at a little village outside Gerben. A little village called Gerben outside Hanover.
Gerden?
Yeah.
G-E-R?
G-H-E-R, I think it was D-E-N, I think.
And generally in Germany, how did you get on with the German civilians?
Well, they didn't have a lot of dealing, really, you know. I remember them coming around Grovelin for a grub out of his film bins and all that. That's true, that is. And picking up dough games. But when we were at this garden place, you typically come being a duty driver, you know. You could drive a lorry or a half truck or anything. And it was my turn to be duty driving. Excuse me. And the sergeants, the sergeant in charge of the sergeant mess, I had to go down to Hanover to pick up some booze to have my party. So I had to drive him down in this half truck. We went to this place to get the booze. And the road laws in Germany, you shouldn't pass a stationary tram. You see? So coming along the street, and there was a double tram parked, stopped picking up passengers, and I stood behind it. And this sergeant, Sergeant Gray, he said, go on, that's all right, go on, pass. So I passed it, didn't I? Just got past the MP, came out for a hill. And that was actually a fizzer, didn't it? So it was a Connell job. And I think it was about 14 days junkets for that. And this sergeant, I didn't like to drop him in it, you know, I didn't like to say I was on bare orders. I didn't want to think it was a sneak. Actually, it turned out very good, that junkers. It was going as a mail guard, German civvy drivers, up into the Harz Mountains. Beautiful countryside up here. I think it's 14 days I've been with that. Great. So the one will be a German driver, was given them fancy.
Well, the Germans you met, you seem to have got on reasonably well with.
Yes.
Were you aware of the black market, or?
Yes, I was. Yes.
Did you do anything with it?
Yes.
What were you doing?
Well, all I could get. Same as everybody else.
Well, how did it work? What would you swap? Or, you know, barter exchange?
Chocolates, cigarettes, sweets. Anything. Well, there's probably loads of that. Everybody was at that.
Were you looking forward to getting home?
Yes, I was. I finished up with the... When I finished with the first place, because they were breaking up as well, you see, I went to the 1420th King's Hussars.
Where were they?
In Wuppertal, in Germany, in the Ruhr Valley. That had been about the 1945. No, about, or maybe early 40, towards the end of 45. And I was there until I went to mob in April 47.
Mm-hmm. And how did your service, I mean, what were you going to go back to? Did you go back to the forestry?
No. When I got to mob, no, I shall lie. My father got a job with a firm that he was working with. He's learning me to drive. He was off his team, and he was on the diggers, you know, excavators. And he's going to let me drive one of them, see. But then in between times, I had to help the blacksmith in the shop in the company, you know, the blacksmith side. I got fed up with that. So I went back on the timber business. And I was right up in Sutherlandshire in Scotland, working on the timber. I'd come home for a weekend, and there were three of us. We seen that about the paper for timber cutters for, sorry, up company, sorry, where you know. So we got that job and come down there. Then we had to come down here to outside Wimborne to cut some timber there, and that job finished. So they were starting to build a power station in Poole. I went and seen the firm about a job, and I started steel erecting, and then that was 1948. Started steel erecting. And that's what I was doing until the 64. And I took a pub for 4 years. And then I came out of that, and the pub was pulled down for demo for a roadway, you know, a roundabout. Then I went back to steel erecting, and that's when I had this accident. But this one was to do with steel, it was at the road accident. That was a front seat passenger in a head-on car crash. I went through the windscreen and finished up with this. I was off work for 2 years and 7 months for this. Of course, I couldn't go steel erecting again. So I got a job, have you heard of the metal box company? I got a job with them in the pool area. And for the last 17 years of my working life, I was a night shift.
Yeah. Had the war affected you, do you reckon, in any way?
No, I don't think so, no.
Had it been worse?
Well, I always remember the good things, when it laughed at the jokes, you know. I don't think much of the bad things.
Did you have any special friends, you know?
Yes, I did, yes. This fiddler I told you, and And you said you liked seeing him.
Yeah. What was he like?
A great bloke. He's a. I know I've got his address and phone number if you wanted. He came down and see me a year past, or is it 2 years past, but this time.
What was he like then, though? Do you remember what the kind of. In what way? What sort of thing would he do?
Cheery. But now he's all regimental now. Because all the dudes, you know, he wants me to go to a long way.
Okay, thank you very much.
I never thought he'd be like that. Because he's just get in and get out, you know.